Let us pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Said Jesus to his disciples that night so long ago, and who his disciples still this day. Says Jesus, let not your hearts be troubled. My heart immediately wants to say, but Jesus, have you checked the headlines lately? Did you hear about the horror which unfolded at that school in Nashville? Or about the tornadoes and lost lives in Mississippi? Let not your hearts be troubled. How in a world like this can our hearts be anything other than troubled? And we haven't even gotten around all the troubling stuff in our own lives. So how can you say to us, Lord Jesus, let not your hearts be troubled? But he does say it. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Yes, Lord Jesus, we do believe, but you're going to have to help us on this one with our unbelief. Teach us how it is possible that we may live with hearts untroubled in a world like this and in lives such as ours. Let not your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. And the place where Jesus is going, of course, as he speaks these words to his disciples, is to the cross. There to make preparation. There to take upon himself the full weight of all our mistakes and all of our bad deeds committed and good deeds omitted, but not just ours, those of the whole world. There to bear the full burden of all the failures in this world. To love. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love one another as we do ourselves. Jesus is going to the cross to deal with all the damage that we have done in the past, as well as all the damage we have suffered from out of our past. Jesus goes to the cross to make it possible for the past to be dealt with once and for all, for our past to be forgiven, for it to be healed, for it to be overcome, so that our hearts might no longer be troubled by what lies behind. A few weeks ago, I was watching a beautiful scene from the wonderful PBS drama All Creatures Great and Small, which is, as you know, based on the beloved books of the Yorkshire veterinarian James Herriot. And in this scene, Siegfried Farnan, who's the senior veterinarian, is seated in the evening beside the housekeeper, Mrs. Hall, and they have both spent the day having rather significant and difficult encounters with troubling things from their respective past. And at one point, Mr. Farnan muses, I wish the past would invite me back to rectify a thing or two. And Mrs. Hall, reflecting on her own encounter with the past earlier in her day, says, whatever it is, Mr. Farnan, you're forgiven. Whatever it is in our past, says Jesus, we're forgiven. He goes to the cross for us. Therefore, let not our hearts be troubled by anything which lies behind us. Because on the cross of Jesus Christ, our past has been forgiven. Our past has been healed of its power to continue to inflict harm. Our past, whatever it holds, has now been overcome by the grace of our God. Let not your hearts be troubled. But not just the past, it's our future also. For then Jesus says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus is going to prepare a place for us, not just to the cross to die for our sins and deal with our past, but also he is going to his resurrection, where our great enemy, death, shall be defeated and our future made utterly secure. For cannot the future trouble us every bit as much as the past? I mean, if the past haunts us, the future, well, it can frighten us because we don't know what lies out there. And we do know how limited is our power to control it. And above all of it is that future prospect, which is our dying, which no doubt unsettles us in ways we scarce begin to understand. The great awful truth that this life of ours on earth is not forever, and that in the end there's not a thing we can do to change that. But Jesus can change it. And Jesus has already done so for our sake. He heals our past upon his cross, and he secures for us a new and certain and very different future by his resurrection from the dead. Paul says, if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united in a resurrection like his. And then in another letter, just a joyous acclamation, death. Death is swallowed up in victory. But our Savior's own promise is what speaks most. In my Father's house are many rooms, and I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. The future, whatever else it may hold, lies in the hands of Jesus. We lie in the hands of Jesus. And it's going to be okay. So let not your hearts be troubled, says Jesus. I've overcome your past. I will be waiting for you at the end to give you a future. For this reason, and truly so, let not your hearts be troubled. I love this little story. I've told it to you before. An elderly man walking along a road, carrying a very heavy weight and a great burlap sack upon his shoulders. It's so heavy, he's almost bent over double, barely shuffling along beneath the burden. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appears before him and asks him, "What have you got in that sack?" The old man says, "In this sack are my regrets and my fears." The angel says, "Well, set it down, empty them out, and let me see them." With great effort, he puts down his sack, begins to empty it, and first he pulls out yesterday. And the angel picks up yesterday, throws it away, and says to the man, "You don't have to carry that around anymore. Yesterday is in the hands of God, and he is gracious." Then the old man reaches down and pulls out of his sack tomorrow. And the angel picks up tomorrow and tosses it away also, saying, "You don't need to carry that around anymore either, because tomorrow also is in the hands of God, and he keeps his promises." The old man slowly begins to straighten up. And he picks up that empty sack. He resumes his journey. As he goes, he is seen to smile, even to begin whistling. Let not your hearts be troubled, says Jesus. And now we begin to understand it, how it's possible. Even in this world as it is, even in our lives as they presently are. It's possible. Because in his cross, he's freed us from the past. In his resurrection, he guarantees us a future. What then of the present moment? Well, that, I believe, is the point of Thomas's question. Lord, how can we know the way? And the point of Jesus' reassurance. I am the way. Which I take to mean, Thomas, just stay close to me. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You will not be alone. And I am the truth. Thomas, simply let my word dwell in you richly. It will keep you from getting lost. It will show you how to put one foot in front of the other. And I am the life. Thomas, I am the one who gave you your life. And I am the one who is even now leading you towards life eternal. And I am the one who is watching over your life every moment, every present, moment by moment, all the days of your life. Let not your heart be troubled. Past, future, present. They lie within his loving and almighty hands. And nothing is ever going to separate us from those loving and almighty hands. So, let not our hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Because the eternal God is our dwelling place. And beneath us always are those everlasting arms. Amen.